Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at fitgersbookstore.com. Our guest this morning is Kate Hopper, and she's written a memoir called Ready for Air. Kate, good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, let's say before we say much else that the book has a happy ending, because I think that the idea of childbirth is so emotional and so fraught for so many people that you pick up the book and you look at the book, and I think it would be important for people to know before they decide if they want to read it or not what it is exactly that they're going to read. Do you agree?
I agree. And it's interesting because people who know my daughter, Stella, know that she's a healthy 10-year-old. They said, I had to keep checking the very end, even though I know she survived, because I was so caught up in the story. So I think it is, it's just kind of takes a little bit of that pressure off to know that she's going to be okay in the end.
The story is very, very visceral. It's very personal. Why don't you begin by giving folks kind of an overview of what the book is about before I start asking you questions? I'll let you summarize it to begin with.
Yeah, it's so I was in my third year of a Master's of Fine Arts program at the University of Minnesota, and I was pregnant with my older daughter, my first pregnancy, and I had no idea what it was supposed to feel like, and I was very swollen, but it turned out that I had preeclampsia, and I ended up going into the hospital, and Stella was born 2 months early. And so it's really this story about the breakdown of my pregnancy and kind of that loss of innocence. And then this month that we spent in the neonatal intensive care unit at Children's Hospital in Minneapolis, and then that kind of long winter that I was home with her, I had to withdraw from graduate school and couldn't take her out in public. So I really wanted to write this very honest look at new motherhood. I was very isolated, but really it's a book, I feel, that's about how stories connect us to one another, and it's about learning to live with uncertainty, and there's different threads in there that have to do with marriage and how men and women deal with crisis and unexpected, and then faith is an issue in there as well, and certainly depression and mental illness. My own history of depression, and then also my mother-in-law was schizophrenic. And so kind of how we grapple with that as new parents. And I really wanted to write a very honest, not sugar-coated account of my first year of motherhood.
As I read the book, it was kind of like a camera lens trying to focus, because sometimes my focus would become very narrow and look at it through the lens of motherhood and depression, which I also struggle with. And then I tried to back up and take a look at the big picture. And I think the best I could come up with in terms of big picture was the importance of things. It's a story about the things we say and the things we don't say.
I like that.
And one of the things that I thought was so profound, because we've all gone through this, whether it has to do with childbirth or a sick child or any other kind of trauma, this part where we compulsively tell the entire story to total strangers.
Yes.
Someone right. says, "How are you?" And we cannot stop the gush of words.
Uh-huh.
And we tell the entire story in excruciating detail to people who are trying desperately to escape. What's that about?
You know, it's so interesting, but actually that's really what part of the story is about to me, is this need for us to tell, to both tell as a way to heal, and I feel like that was certainly my case the first time when I began to write the book. Those first images and moments, it was just so therapeutic to just, you know, vomit these images out. And so that way of kind of getting it out of your head and either into somebody else's head or onto a page. And then what do you do with that? And that power of kind of telling stories to each other, not only for the teller and the writer, but also for other people, and seeing some of your own life reflected in someone else's story, I think is so healing for people.
You talked about once you were able to begin to connect with other parents that were in a similar situation with a desperately ill or a premature newborn, that somehow there was sort of this whole body sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it that we be surrounded in our lives with other people who get it, whatever it might be?
I think it's incredibly important, and I think that's why the internet is such a huge part of people's life right now, because you don't need to be next door to somebody to be able to share a story. I mean, with blogs and different chat rooms, and certainly, I mean, there's a chat room for everything, you know, and a group out there for almost anything you can think of. And I think that sense of, so often we go through life feeling like, oh, I'm alone, or I'm the only person who thinks this, or I'm the only person that would understand that. And that's just not true. And so if we can kind of break down some of those walls, I just feel like it just makes you feel like you have a sense of community, or that somebody is understanding you. And I see that again and again in my classes that I teach Motherhood and Words class online and in person. And it's amazing to see women connect across countries and continents with very different motherhood experiences, but they resonate with each other and they echo, and all of these similarities kind of pop up where you wouldn't expect them. And I know that people have said, I mean, they say over and over in my classes, I'm so relieved. I didn't know I could say this. I didn't know I could say this out loud. I didn't know that I could talk about my truth and my experience and that somebody would understand me. So it's very powerful.
When we are in that place where we are spilling out our stories and we're looking for something, what are we looking for when we're compulsively telling our stories over and over again, or when we're sending our stories out into the world? We might be sending them out with the idea that this will resonate with somebody and it will help them heal. But what are we looking, what happens inside us that allows us to let go of telling those stories to the nice checkout person at the grocery store?
I mean, for me, and I know, I mean, that feeling of desperation, like where you feel like you've just vomited in someone's lap, you know, like this story over and over. But it does, I think it's that grounding, like bringing yourself back into yourself again. Like, okay, if I say these words out loud, it means they've happened. It is like a way to witness kind of your own experience. And on some level, I think honor it, but that's the piece that at some point you get past that, and some people just tell it, and then they don't need to tell it anymore. And for me, that was happened when I was able to craft my story. And so those first drafts are really just this, spitting out of my experience in that way. And then I had this distance from it. Then it was no longer this thing that was right there so close to me, but it was this experience that was now on the page that was me, and it wasn't totally me. And then I could really look at, okay, how can I make this a story that other people can enjoy? It's not going to totally overwhelm them. And so then I had to really think about it on the craft level, and that's where the art part happened. And so I think that when you get to that point, you know, I felt grounded again. So I think that's what people are looking for sometimes when they tell their story. I need somebody to see this. I need you to understand what happened to me. And it's that kind of witnessing of this really did happen.
Validation.
Then, yeah, a validation. And then you can say, okay, now what do I do with it? And that's when the crafting of a story has to come into play. So it's not just that first draft kind of vomit on the page.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And Kate Hopper will be in Duluth at the bookstore at Fitgers. She will be talking about her book and signing copies of it. The signing is at 6:30. The discussion takes place tonight at 7 p.m. at the bookstore at Fitgers. Kate, thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Author Kate Hopper. the author of a memoir called Ready for Air. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street, online at fitgersbookstore.com.